Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Clown World. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight, indeed, tonight is Friday, March 8th. And to check the date, I've been doing shows all day, in the year 2024. Actually, been a pretty busy day. There are a couple other shows I don't normally do because I covered down for Michelle and Lee on Resistance Chicks. So I did their Brighteon show today, and I also did their Rumble show today. So there's two other shows if you want to go over and watch. There's plenty of content today for sure, plus our morning show. But just a quick update on their mother. The intubation is over. They took her off of the vent. She's doing very well. Her numbers are back up. And a lot of prayer and a lot of prayers are being received. And just wanted to tell everybody thank you for all the prayers. It's made a big difference. She's not done, not out of things yet, but she's doing much better, which is a big thing, which is huge. So good news all the way around. Patriots, last night we had the So Too, which was nonsense. We had some crazy stuff come out about that. I've got kind of a correction to make, an adjustment to make from something I said this morning. And then we have our normal, like, get on down the road. Let's get busy with looking at the world and its insanity, because literally we are living in clown world, and things are upside down, left and sideways. And that's becoming the normal for the left. Essentially, what we're witnessing here is a left that is coming unraveled, because all of its lies are no longer able to sustain. Ultimately, truth wins. We know that, and we have to continue to press forward with truth at all costs, even if it makes people uncomfortable, melt down, or whatever they do. But the fact of the matter is that at the center point of all truth, we have to be keeping our eyes on Christ, and that's where our strength is. It's where we walk. This is truly the authorities which we carry. We continue to do those things, and we'll continue to break and fracture this matrix into pieces and set people free, which is ultimately what we want to do. And before we get going tonight, one thing that's being very evident in everything we do is the understanding that we are facing an economic threat. That economic threat is real. They are trying to crush this economy, break the backbone of it, and force us into a digital economy. Right now, the digital economy, no matter how you cut it, is going to give away all of our freedom. You can't avoid that. That is the way it is. It's designed to work off of a digital profile. And in a digital profile, it's not like your digital ID from your biometrics. This is your digital ID as it comes to be known, actually. It's not like biometrics, but it's literally everything about you is consolidated into a solitary file, and they collect everything on you and they build it. That is where the type of system that they want us to go to. And I don't care who's swinging the axe on that one. That's what the future of digital economies is about. Blockchain is one of the greatest cons ever put on the public, because while blockchain is one of these great things to keep safe, every bit of your transactions is left in the open ledger for people to read. There's no privacy. And that's the problem, especially in these systems we're going to now, and banks are rapidly moving to it. And of course, on Monday, we have a very big issue coming on, which is the bank's fund, which is their loan fund. And that loan fund, which is coming up, is going to be stopped on Monday, which will leave some banks at risk. And that fund is referred to as the Bank Term Funding Program, the BTFP. And what that has done is it's allowed banks that are at risk to take short-term loans from the Fed to sustain them so they don't go insolvent. Well, on Monday, March 11th, that's going to be canceled. It will no longer be available for the banks, which means we will see another rash of small and medium-sized banks collapse. The whole intent here is to do a slow consolidation of banking. And instead of having a run on banks, what they've learned the lesson very well from our past, they're doing a sustained death of banks, which is forcing people increasingly into less and less bank options, so that the banks that remain are owned and controlled by the Treasury and the Fed as part of this new digital economy. regardless of what is talked about in terms of sovereignty, the United States, anybody in the power structures right now that's talking about economic reform understands very well that they are pushing for a global, new level of global commerce. The difference is whether they force you to do it or whether you accept to do it. But either way, this new system is draconian. There is no individual freedom. All that said, and one thing I do want you to be considering as you go along with this is also what you're doing with your retirement savings. It's critical. It's very critical. And that's where silver and gold become very critical and part of our profiles that we need to do and need to anchor into those. Silver and gold still remain the safe havens for a lot of our money. And they are the places to where you can keep your growth and your losses, avoid your losses and keep a solid asset underneath you. Now, we have a group that's been with us now for about 18 months. They've done an incredible job of servicing Barge Nation, and that's Birch Gold Group. All you have to do to get hold of Birch Gold is you need to text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Just text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. You're going to get a free information packet from them. Take a look at it, read through it, get informed, give them a call, see how they can help you with your existing IRA, 401k, or with retirement planning. All of those things are there for your service and to get you going. If you have an existing IRA or 401k, it's a zero cost to you to get it transferred to a precious metals-backed retirement account, tax-deferred. And it's important to do this because all of this is about preparation for what is to come. And unfortunately, we don't have answers. Catherine Austin Fitz is probably one of the most informed people on this. And she has said it over and over that this digital economy is coming. We aren't getting a choice. And so a lot of what we're witnessing right now especially in our political sphere, is just bread and circuses. And people are getting ramped up and pitting against each other. And a lot of this is by design to keep our eyes off of the bigger shifts that are actually happening. We have big shifts happening in the economic space. And the economic markets are in turmoil. Gold is going higher. We have a lot of unsettling going on, a lot of massive shifts of assets, declining of programs like this BFT, the BTFP. Banks are at higher risk. The banks have a zero reserve right now. All of these things are unstable. Now, will it all suddenly collapse and fall apart? That's kind of the doomsday sayers are saying that. If you're watching how these people are moving, they're working in a very strategic fashion to try to increment this loss and change as we shift over to an entirely new business model. They want the entire world to work differently. And the problem is that if we continue to walk along this path and go along with them, I don't care what promises are given, we're going to all end up in the same place, which is this digital prison. And it's not easy to break from it. And there's no easy answers, but it does center ourselves truly on the ability for us to make decisions about if we want to buy local, transact locally, and if we want to avoid the digital economy. And that's a very difficult choice to make, but it's increasingly being part of what our future is. It's no surprise that today NASA let us know that there is a looming, apparently solar explosion that they're concerned about, solar flare in 2025 that will potentially take out the entire internet. Now, here's the deal. In what we are witnessing here, we are seeing a massive rise in the awareness of people across the globe. And once people get information and knowledge, the genie's out of the bottle. You can't contain them anymore. And so increasingly, the deep state gets put into a place where they have to start being prepared to react in a bigger way. It's a dangerous moment. Where we have to do is keep our focus on faith and truth as we walk here, because that's the stabilizing factor in a war that is predominantly spiritual and not physical. But we're being led to believe that this is all physical, that it's in the politics, that it's in the arrests, that it's in these other things. That's secondary. What happens in the spirit, it reflects first and then reflected in the flesh. Now, with this, I made a comment this morning about a tweet that President Trump put out. And I want to clarify a detail on it because it's an important detail. I am nonetheless totally disappointed in this tweet. And I just find the whole tweet to be abhorrent all the way around. But I want to clarify something I said. I credited the entire tweet to his words, which is not exactly true. What he did in his tweet, which is a bit confusing until you realize what he did, is he quoted Joe Biden first. And in the quote, Joe Biden made these comments, which this morning I attributed to Trump, but it's not Trump. These were Joe Biden's words. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That was Biden's claim. Trump responded in bold letters, and this is on Truth Social. And Trump's words were, "You're welcome." Joe, 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you. Now, this whole tweet just spits in the face of every service member right now that's struggling with the damages of a mandated COVID shot. It spits in the face of every family member that has lost somebody to this tweet, to this injection. It spits in the face of every person that is suffering the massive damage this has done to their bodies, whether it was clots, neurological damage, whether it's autoimmune disorders, whatever it is. The problem we have here is this is a tit-for-tat type text and put out by Trump that, quite frankly, he needs to retract. And I don't say this lightly. We are in a real war here, and people's lives are being cast aside, and those that are standing against the vax are being completely ignored once again. And we know that this president has done it before. He has been openly supportive of the vax. Now, I needed to make that clarity because he's not the one that actually said that it's being used for cancer, but he endorses the statement by saying, "You're welcome, Joe," because he wants to take credit for the fact that this vaccine was done in 9 months. I wish it had taken 12 years, but we know that with that would have come a lot of other costs. There's no question that we're in a critical war right now, and it's a war that's taken a lot of very difficult maneuvers to wake people up from the deep slumber. And there's no question that at the end of the day, everybody had a choice on this vax, other than many of the military members. Military members had a choice, but the cost to say no has been literally having to lay everything down. But that doesn't exclude people in the public sphere that had to do the same thing. People have lost jobs, lost family members, lost relationships, been kicked out of families, been kicked out of homes. I mean, some of the most abhorrent activity we could ever imagine has happened in the course of this vax. And there's absolutely no excuse to support this injection in any way, shape, or form. What we have here is we have a disgusting issue of Big Pharma once again trying to shape politics with the money that they flow in. And that's coming from areas is from Israel, from Big Pharma, and from other influence activities that are out here trying, and the Department of Defense, to truly try to put it in the position that we as a nation somehow have to be grateful for this ridiculous death shot. Now, this also ties in directly with much of the narrative that has come about by the Q movement, which has listed things like, you know, patriots are in control and the military is the only way. What we have learned really, and quite frankly, we have learned very clearly through the episodes or through the stories of the DMA is that that's not true at all. Our military is truly in a fractured state right now. Its leadership is broken. And it has done so because it is complicit in a crime against humanity and a crime against the people and a crime against soldiers, which is treason. And it's done so because it has willfully executed a policy that has forced a vaccine that was experimental on our soldiers. Ultimately, everybody in that chain of command is going to be held accountable. And whether we like it or not, and whether it makes you feel comfortable or not, I don't care. The man who claims to be the father of the vax is on that list. And you can't simply sidestep the destruction of the list. This is a piece done by a short piece with Seth in Man in America with Dr. David Martin. It's an exquisite discussion of the reality of our current state of our military leadership. Take a listen.
What's the problem with that story? The problem with that story is what has happened to the military. You do not allow the Department of Defense to issue a self-inflicted harm order to the Department of Defense, where you take military men and women, people who are trained, advanced fighting forces, Navy SEALs, special forces, you know, special air wings in the Air Force. You do not take our best defense and sideline them by forcing them to take a kill shot. You do not do that if you're playing for the same team. You would never do anything. And by the way, the current Secretary of Defense is a traitor. And we need to call it what it is. You do not weaken your own army so that a foreign party can take advantage of that weakness. We have fewer special forces. We have fewer Marines. We have fewer defensive postures than we had 6 months ago and 8 months ago. And we did it for what? We did it because we were trying to force people to take a jab that would ultimately harm their fighting force readiness. I wrote a piece for the Department of Defense, and it was circulated internally, which actually suggested that in addition to the vaccine injury question, which is actually a very significant problem, we were doing what was called battlefield softening. In other words, we were self-inflicting onto our defense forces a means by which fewer of them could potentially rise to the defense of this country. And we did that intentionally. And no empire in human history has survived an internal military fighting force softening.
Those are very powerful and very accurate words. I'm reading a few things in chat, and I want to just make some comments here because somebody asked, how did Trump know that it was going to be dangerous when he signed the vax into order? First of all, it's important to understand that the vax approval happened in September 19th of 2019, before we ever knew that COVID was on the horizon, at least we as the public. Secondly, I have said many times, if you've listened to this show, I have walked through the scenarios that I can logically defend for the choices of having to support the vax. It goes down to voter choice, and it goes down to a couple other things, which I'm going to highlight here very quickly. Because what I've said all along is that Trump was put into an impossible situation, and that goes back to April 2020, when he came out with this head of science and technology to discuss about alternative therapies for this pandemic that they were calling it. The three things that were presented was HCQ, which we had not heard much about. We were just learning about. He talked about chlorine dioxide, which very few people knew about, which is now considered a standard therapy. And the third thing he talked about was light therapy for blood. All of these were innovative therapies and things that we should have known about when we didn't. The media went and excoriated that and went to a position of Trump trying to drink, having people drink bleach, came up with fake studies on HCQ to say it was going to kill people, and went further to talk about this idea of light therapy as like using a light bulb on blood. All of that was lies, but the problem is the people. The people in the United States could not let go of the need to have a vax. And the majority of people, including people in MAGA and in Q movement, wanted the vax. And here's where the first layer of problem came in. Trump then came in May and said he had to make a very difficult decision. It may have been the end of April. And make a very difficult decision that was going to cost lives. We don't know what that is, but we can assume that had to be the approval of the vax. Because at the end of the day, they needed the votes to shake up the system and expose the level of corruption and have any chance of possibly winning, which I always say that they never expected to win, but that's a whole other discussion. And that's what ends up transpiring over the next few months. I can stand with it. I can live with that analysis, whether it's accurate or not, because there is a rationale that I look at that from a political point of view of having to win an election to keep in power, knowing that your base will break from you if you don't deliver a vax. That's a hard truth. And a hard truth is it wasn't just the left and it wasn't just the woke. It was a whole bunch of people in MAGA that wanted the injection. The problem I have is we're now 4 years onto this. All of the evidence is out here, knowing very clearly the damage of the vax. In fact, an article that came out just today, or I'm sorry, I take this back. This article came out on 3/5/2024, which makes it even worse. And I came across it today. And this is that hospital homicide, new study points to evidence that some COVID-19 patients were euthanized by hospitals. This is just an indicator of the level of corruption. We have known that hospitals over the last 4 years have been highly corruptive agents. We have known that the vax has been a huge part of deaths. That's not even disputable anymore. We take that from the aspect of Pfizer's release of documents, the people that have perused that. Steve Bannon led the team in the war room to help the doctors dissect those. And we've come up with the truths. So there's no more doubt that the vax is the most abhorrent thing ever launched on the U.S. public. The tie-ins with Fauci, the tie-ins with the Department of Defense, the tie-ins with all the training of the bioweapons systems, the tie-ins with Ukrainian labs, the tie-ins with Wuhan. All of these things are now evident that there was a conspiracy move that was launched originally in 2012 under Obama that led to the early production of this vaccine and an intentional design of something that would be a bioweapon launched into the public. At Fort Detrick, they even briefed this back in 1999 that this was a method by which to destroy a nation by using a fake virus and using the real bioweapon in a vaccine. This is true. This is documentable. You're welcome to research it and do your digging. My issue that comes back that we are in an election year in 2024 and we still have a president that can't sit back and say this vax was a bad thing. He can't acknowledge that he was wrong. And this is a problem because he was. He was wrong, and no matter how you cut this, this vax that came into this public has cost millions of lives. And so whether people are comfortable with this or not, as the CEO of the company, of a company, as the presiding president of the United States has signed off on the approval of this, at the end of the day, there is accountability. That is the entire point of the DMA, by the way, Declaration of Military Accountability. So you can have officers that go, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. That doesn't matter. On your watch, you did not stand up or even put a pause on a policy that forced an injection into soldiers that ended up costing them their lives and their livelihoods. You had a policy that wasn't even supportive of religious exemptions. And on top of it, you went further as a policy in the military to torture these soldiers to try to coerce them into taking the vax. President Trump has not been receptive to doing anything but supporting this vax. And so a comment like this, trying to defend it or take credit away from Biden because Biden's lying and Trump's wanted to jump into that pot and take credit because he was, quote, the father of the vax, his words, not mine, is abhorrent at this point in time. Our nation has been ravaged by this injection. And it's something that absolutely, what I say over and over, people need to put the pressure on the president, speak truth, and get him to start speaking truth to power. I read in chat here, someone said, we have no other choice than Trump. We always have choices. We always have choices. The fact of the matter is, though, Trump is here to stay. That is a force that we are going to have to work with. So we have a choice. You can step back and say, there's no saving him. The country's lost, which I hear too much, because without Trump, somehow we're going to miss things, which is complete nonsense. Or we can, as a community, we can start pressuring him and writing him and notifying him that this is not acceptable, because it's not. Because the fact of the matter is that whether he's being advised poorly or whether his ego's too big to accept defeat, the fact of the matter is what that vax was, what Operation Warp Speed was not what he intended. And what we got was a completely horrible product designed to maim and kill. That's what it was designed for. And whether he likes it or not, his name is on the signatory line of approval. Those are facts. And so it's time that as a public, if you love somebody, and you're going to have it out here. People don't understand. I have been screaming this from the pulpit, from this mic, for over 4 years. And this is not a new topic, but it has come up again because of a comment that you see somebody make who has tremendous influence after a SOTU speech, which was ridiculous from Biden. Let it be. He was angry, had nothing to say worthwhile, but you can't let it go because you have to take credit for something that's worthless. And so the facts are the facts. And if we don't have the authority, if we don't have the courage to stand up and speak the facts, even to the president, everybody wants to keep brushing this under the rug. I don't know where we're going here, because as a nation, we haven't learned a darn thing. And it's disappointing. And I get completely frustrated with the unwillingness of people to speak truth. In fact, if you listen to the letter that Mike Adams wrote the other day that I read, his comment was that when he was approached by investors that wanted to support from a MAGA side investors, they were very clear that part of the establishment of funding Brighteon, which would take in some financial burden off of Mike, was that he could not speak against issues of Trump. That's not even right. That's not creating the society we want. We're just becoming another version of the left. So like it or not, truth is truth, and it hurts, but it's real. As we kind of continue along here, I mean, we have to start facing the fact that there's a lot of problems going on. Elon Musk, for example, has been providing free Starlink, which I call Skynet, free Starlink to Ukraine during this war period. But what's not being held accountable is recently the Russians just lost a ship. It was sunk by a remote control vehicle, a seaborne IED-type drone that ended up hitting the Russian ship, three of them, in fact, and sinking the ship. It was made possible because of Starlink, because of the free Starlink that was given. Where's the accountability again? But we don't have accountability because that's part of our war effort to run a proxy war against Russia. These are all players that are coming together. Trump and Elon Musk are meeting now. And so we have to start understanding that there is a much bigger play here going on that people have to step back. We aren't going to get a one-and-go win with Trump. That's one of the great illusions people have to let go of. Trump is just a stepping stone to a greater understanding that we are trying to seek and return to the principle of being a republic by and for the people, a constitutional republic. And it's not going to happen under one presidency. And anybody that believes for a half a second that Trump is going to change this world radically, you need to start asking hard questions. And these hard questions are things like, why is it that the Border Patrol is so unwilling to follow the Constitution under Biden and willing to follow Biden's illegal orders? And what will make the difference when Trump comes to power? Why will they suddenly abide by the Constitution and close the borders down? Because he's going to write an executive order? That's not even constitutional. Executive orders are ruling this country by proxy. Congress has the authority to vote in changes to the Constitution, but we're not dealing with that. The Constitution is very clear about the responsibilities of people in the government rank and file and what their responsibility is on the border, but they're not doing that. So there's a lot of naivety, this idea that Trump is somehow has the wields, this amazing amount of power, that everything is going to go better. Trump, it will get things done if he has people working around him, yes. But as we already saw, there were so many places in which the deep state pushed against him. And somehow magically, this is all going to change, and somehow magically, he's going to get in power. And that's the question everybody needs to be asking ultimately is, how are you going to see Trump get in power when you know that the election system is still rigged? See, these are we have to break the paradigms of naivety. And the paradigms of I want, I wish, I hope, because that isn't a strategy. The fact of the matter remains, if we are going to go through a voting process, we know that this voting system is massively rigged. And if it doesn't end up being rigged, then ask yourself the question how that happened. And these are hard questions to ask. What's going on behind the scenes out of our view? We had Jake Schenck on the other night. He comes from a very elite section within Special Forces. I know this group. It has its origins in OSS. He made a very important comment, which he and I talked before the show about, which he was dead on about. And he said, I'm concerned that there's unconventional warfare going on within our country. That would mean that there are special operations teams of some fashion doing work that is outside the limit of our Constitution to accomplish things. No doubt we're at a state of war. No doubt about that. No doubt that things are having to happen. But the question we need to ask is, if this is happening behind the scenes and it's happening in our favor right now because we're happy certain things are getting cleaned up, doesn't that mean that it could easily happen with somebody in another presidency? And the answer is absolutely yes. We have little transparency right now. We're all being kind of set in this stasis point, told to witness the horribleness of our country and how it's falling apart. We're not being given the truths of what things are being done behind the scenes. And at some point, it has to be done. Because if we're going to reestablish confidence in our government and confidence in our leadership, people have to be truthful and honest. That means you have to have a government, which our founding fathers intended to have, a government that is anchored in the biblical principles and in our love in Christ. But right now, we're not even close there. So we have before us a couple of candidates. We actually have three that are viable. We have Joe Biden, which is a clown. We have Robert Kennedy Jr., and we have Trump. And there are choices. The problem we get into is a bipolar thinking in our nation that it's either this one or the other, and we really don't have choice when we have all the choice we want in the world. And it's those choices that start to fracture the matrix's control when we start to execute them and not play along the game that they wish us to play. This is really important times for us to come to grips with this because we are in a critical point of paralysis and decline, and it's very risky. This is an article out in Zero Hedge, and it starts out, we can bear neither our diseases nor their remedies. A very important quote here, and that quote came from Livy, who was a historian in 59 BC to AD 17, that literally watched and witnessed the long decline of Rome and its national character in his age and finally ended the Roman Republic. Now, this article goes on and writes something it's very important and on the point. Like the patient whose medicine proves worse than the disease, Livy lamented that Romans knew that they had become corrupt and lawless, but the very contemplation of the hard medicine needed for restoration and the furious reaction that would meet the remedy made it impossible to save the patient. America is nearing such an impasse. We are in a place right now where people are very apprehensive to question the status quo. They're very apprehensive to question anything that might rock the boat. And yet, if we don't do this and we don't speak these truths, we are literally going to be in major trouble. And this is literally where we are. So let me just play a bit here of a piece with Dr. Phil and Bill Maher. It's insightful what Dr. Phil has to say.
And a lot of your book is about stuff that we share in common. The idea that wokeness, which started out as a great thing, alert to injustice, all down for that, and it morphed into something else.
Yeah,
and
weaponized.
Now, and now it's where common sense goes to die.
Right. I think somebody needs to call that out. But people, the percentage of people that are unwilling to speak out and say what they think has tripled since 1950. People just say, it's easier just not to say anything.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's coming at a very high cost if we allow our narrative in America to be hijacked by these fringe factions on either end, either tail of the distribution here.
And that's critical right there, is that our responsibility in a republic is to speak up and speak truth. And when we don't do that and we end up in a place like this, we end up in clown world. And clown world is a place where literally left is right, right is left, and anything possible happens under the sun. Our nation is, and its underpinnings of faith have been stripped from us. And we are dealing with such unconscionable evil. They will do anything to win. Take a listen to this piece.
Do you really think that these cretins that are in charge, sorry, cretones, really give a shit about you, your safety, or your security? The same individuals that have no problem with the border being wide open right now, millions and millions of legal individuals flowing into this country? Doo-doo-doo. No. They looked at the data after this plandemic, the biggest psychological operation the world's ever seen, and realized it backfired on them. Shitty applications like this actually woke people up instead of keeping them in their slumber. Shit's about to go down, and they can't have Americans running around getting their information from other Americans. Now, they need you plugged into the propaganda machine. They're about to do something a lot worse than this plandemic, and they can't allow this application to be in your hands. Safety and security. Look, if you don't have a plan, you're running out of time. Better get right. Because these evil turds, they don't sleep.
That's Navigating Chaos Zero on TikTok. He does great work. And he's a former Army. I think he was a combat engineer, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he hits stuff dead on. And it's absolutely true. Right now, these people are ramping up for something bigger and better. And there's a lot of political gamesmanship going on to keep people's eyes off the ball. That's what's the concern. Because the real issue here, when we start seeing this, what's coming across our border, we're talking a lot about the threat of those that are coming here with violence in mind, but we're also forgetting about the others that are coming here that are being paid to be here. We're witnessing the paying of an army. We're watching an army being paid and stood up before us, and these people, once that pay is cut off, they are turned into violent operators on our soil because they're desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. So when you're providing a family with kids with $50,000 a month debit cards like they just did in New York City, suddenly you're in a place where this money gets dried up, which it will, and now what are they going to do? They have no job. They can't speak English. What are they going to do? They're going to try to turn on others to steal because it's what they're going to do to try to help their family. There's a lot of pieces about this right now that are being very callously brushed over. And it's all of this bread and circuses in the political realm is stuff that we need to step back from. It's not going to take people very long to figure out who you're going to vote for. And arguably, if you're confused, if you just sit back and just watch what happens, you'll come to that answer pretty easily, even the night before voting. But bread and circuses isn't the entertainment. It is the entertainment. Sports has fallen. People aren't giving the viewership to hockey or football or basketball anymore because of its wokeism. But this becomes the entertainment section of America now with the politics. And while this may be entertaining, the question you have to ask constantly is what else is going on that I'm not seeing? Because in our communities is where this is going to hit. President Trump gets into office. I believe he's going to get there one way or the other. I think it's already been decided. And I think that all the indications are it's decided. And why do I say that? Because somehow, without us having any idea how voter rolls were cleaned, because they weren't, any idea how the machines were corrected, because they're still in play, he is winning massively in every single state, even when he's not on the ballot. question people have, they keep being telling you, is it's because the people's vote is working. But that's funny, because the vote didn't work in 2020. So why is it working now? Nothing changed. If you doubt me, go look at the stats of how they've cleaned up voter rolls. They have not been successful in cleaning voter rolls yet. It's the one thing that the Democrats hang on to. So there's some sort of hacked shenanigans going on behind the scene, and it's not just people voting. And yet this is what we're seeing, is this outcome that magically things are starting to change. This should make everybody feel very uncomfortable, because this bread and circus that we're watching is obscuring some of the bigger threats that are happening around here. And that means that we have to get focused on our local communities. And this is the constant corruption that we're dealing with on a daily basis that's infecting our children, that is avoiding, keeping our eyes off of these looming things like an economic earthquake that's literally coming at us like a tsunami. We are seeing this destabilization of earthquake of the economic space right now that's unprecedented. And with all of this, we're starting to see the fractures and the shaking happen, to where we're having to ask ourselves, what is really at the core of this? What is going to happen? We see that the dollar's been way overextended. Banks are starting to collapse again. All of this is by design to slowly roll us into the consolidation of a few central banks that are all owned and controlled by the Fed and by the Treasury. What is that? That's all part of this new economic system, where everything is run ultimately on the back end by some super AI. And they're doing to a new digital currency, which goes back years, where they talked about this. Even the John Bircher Society was talking about it years ago. It's what they call an SDR, which is a basket of currencies. The SDR was a principle where they took, instead of having a reserve currency and having something that is in a place where the idea of one dominant currency, which was the U.S. dollar, they set up a basket of currencies, which was set up intentionally to be able to mitigate or integrate these different currencies around the world, so that you could use your different currencies, quote, as sovereign nations, but there would be a unified exchange on the international level. This has been in design for 40 years now. It's not new. The dollar was designed to fail. The dollar was designed to be resolved. And part of their solution is this new digital currency, which looks like they're going to use something like XRP as the interface, and they're going to promise you that it's going to be gold-backed, whatever that means. Because I guarantee you, if you really press it to be gold-backed on this new digital currency, you're not going to be able to walk in with your cell phone and show them your digital numbers and get gold in your hand walking out. That is not going to happen. So there's a lot of illusion with this new system, and it needs to be asked what's happening. And people need to ask the hard questions. What's happening with the social credit score? There may not be calling it that, but we have all indications that they're continuing to build it, and they're building it aggressively, and they're not stopping. Some of that was indicated with some information that came out on a news system that they were standing up to literally mine people's data and set up with a profile that people are literally in a place right now where they're being profiled in certain databases. We know this. And so this is the FBI, the DHS working. So I go back to whoever is president, President Trump, whoever. How are they going to change all of this? It's a big question. I'm very serious, because D.C. is a massive network of federal pariahs. It's a network of parasites all over the place. And so when you look at this beast and this behemoth, and we're spending so much time focusing on the elections, which is, again, bread and circus, the real change happens in our local level. That change is local. It's a hard on-the-ground change. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in our communities. And it's getting our counties back to constitutional sheriff counties so that we can protect the nation by a local action. These are hard things to deal with. But the fact is that at the end of the day, there's a lot of showmanship going on, and it's way too much for where we are. Make America great again? That's awesome. I don't know what that looks like. We've never had a substantive statement to it. It sounds good, but again, it's a hard question of what does that look like in the end, and where are we going? Because none of us know. Somebody knows, but we don't know. That hasn't been shared with us. We don't have an idea of what this great new future of America looks like, other than apparently, according to President Trump, he's going to build 10 new cities. 10 new cities on what land? Supposed to be federal land. Federal land that the federal government should never own, but they acquired it through various aspects of eminent domain. And according to Biden, we're going to have 20 million acres of land taken from the Midwest and the flyover of America to turn good farmland into a solar farm. So there's another question. Is that going to be rescinded? All of these things have to be looked at in balance to ask yourself, are we literally seeing a change or are we all being migrated towards one direction just with a new leadership to make it taste better by one and less bitter from the other? And these are hard questions. They're not easy questions, but they're questions we have to sit with. And they're not popular questions in an election year when everybody wants to celebrate. There's candidate, his name is Mark Robinson. He's the vice governor in North Carolina. I stopped by his office 2 years ago. It would have been a year ago this last fall when I did my tour across country delivering Bibles. God put in my heart to bring him a founder's Bible. This man is fearless. He speaks the truth. And this is sort of boldness we need, not just at the pulpit, but in the public space. Take a listen to this. And he's on point in everything he says, keeping in mind that he's in political office saying these things.
Here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils around, trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. Now, I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read. Instead of teaching them how to go to hell. Yeah, I said it and I mean it.
That man has some courage and has fire. And that's the sort of fire we need across our entire nation right now, more than ever. It's a fearlessness. And it's a fearlessness that has to be said. When somebody is wrong, regardless of who they are, it needs to be stated. And that's the power of a republic, when we, the people, understand who we are. Who we are as a people. Now, here's a great example. Somebody who did just this, and we watched the penalty of the state. He still did it. Gold Star dad was arrested after heckling Biden over his son's death in the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. He spoke out in the State of the Union. He spoke out loud. He called out Biden. And it goes on. President Biden was momentarily distracted from delivery of his State of the Union address on Tuesday night as the father of a Marine killed during the mishandled withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan yelled from the gallery at the top of his lungs, imploring the audience to remember the bloody bombing that took his son's life. This was the same bombing, the same thing that we were reminded of, that the Marine that was there as a sniper was forbidden from taking the shot. But there's no fear of speaking truth. They're speaking the truth out, and they're speaking the truth boldly, because that is what we are supposed to do as a people, even if it's President Trump. It's easy to say when it's President Biden. Everybody loves it. They're like, yeah, he's evil, he's evil. It doesn't work well when MAGA has to do it to their own. And this is the point, is to win this fight, we don't walk in that blind spot. You can't. And God doesn't allow it and doesn't expect it. He wants us to walk in the line of truth. That's what he's asking us to do. And that doesn't have a political party. Truth has truth, and truth is the light of Christ, who you vote for, how you walk, all that's cool. And that's your choice. But in the sense of walking this, you have to be able to step back from these moments and say, you know what, that was wrong. Now, am I going to vote for Trump, not vote for Trump? I have no idea. I'm just going to tell you right now. Right now, that particular post that he did right now set me back significantly. I'm dealing on a daily basis with military members that are dealing with consequences of this vax. We have lost friends from this vax with this turbo cancer and all this other nonsense out there. So when you have somebody that's not willing to acknowledge the deaths of innocents in our nation, I'm challenging myself to ask myself if from a moral position I can vote for that. I don't have your answer right now, because that's a lot of forgiveness or grace or whatever we want to call it to allow that to happen, simply because if we don't have Trump, we don't have anybody else, which is not true. Because at a local level, you're not going to control federal, but at a local level, we can control a lot. Am I afraid Biden's going to take office? No, because at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure Trump's going to get in office one way or the other. There's just too much of an engine behind him. And there's too much of a power behind him that's saying he's going to be there. But it doesn't mean that you have to weigh those things of the nation and your moral character. Because right now we are dealing with a nation that has lost its moral character. It's lost its moral foundation. And that's a big problem. Take a listen to this piece. This relates to the man that spoke up last night at the State of the Union.
This made me sick this morning. I'm sure many of you saw the State of the Union last night, and you may have heard a commotion at some point. There was a dad who lost his temper because his son was killed in the withdrawal from Afghanistan that we all saw on TV. The horrific nightmare of people that were left behind, Afghanis that we left behind that helped us for 20 years that were killed as they were left on the tarmac because they were betrayed by us and totally left behind. Equipment left behind, American soldiers killed on the way out, and this dad lost his son and lost his temper. And you know how they rewarded him last night for losing his temper? They didn't just understand that he was grieving. They arrested him. They arrested him because that's how they view us as the American people. We're just cattle. We're just numbers on a spreadsheet. We're just nobodies. They are our overlords. They are not public servants. They rule over us. Proverbs 29:2 is true of them. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And that's where we're at. The wicked are ruling over us and treating us like dirt.
Only thing is, we got to stop mourning and stop getting off our tail and start leaning in, because it's important. It's important. There's too many things coming at us to say otherwise. And this government is complicit in way too many crimes. Let's take a walk back in history real quick and remember something that Alex Jones said over 20 years ago.
Facts and common sense are in. Yes, there have been corrupt empires. Yes, they manipulate. Yes, there are secret societies. Yes, there have been oligarchies throughout history. And yes, today in 2002, there is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny, where human beings are absolutely worthless. There's 6.25+ billion of us, and the globalists have said it many times. There's too many of us. We're causing a problem. We need to be culled at the tune of 80%. It's amazing to talk about that, but it's the globalists, the UN, their own public statements, and they've convinced a lot of liberals and elitist conservatives and others that by going along with this, that we're intelligent members of society. It's the ultimate Malthus worldview. It is this radical, virulent form of social Darwinism. It's the excuse of tyrants. And by creating open borders where there's no national sovereignty and only global bodies that control all the resources, by centralizing and socializing health care, the state becomes God, basically, when it comes to your health. And then by releasing diseases and viruses and plagues upon us, we then basically get shoved into their system.
Years of speaking truth and things like this on the fringe, Alex Jones is one. He's a mixed bag. He's a love-hate mix many times. But the fact of the matter is that he's never stopped speaking hard truth into the public. And that doesn't make you always a popular person. If, regardless of what you feel about him, if we had had a majority of men speaking that level of truth, we wouldn't be here today. And that's where we have to start reflecting very seriously on what is going on. I mean, our histories are literally being rewritten. We're looking at the world completely differently. And we have to start looking at not just how they're being rewritten, but the things that have been hidden from us. Here's a quote from Benjamin Netanyahu in 1990, the same president that's in charge of Israel today. Quote, America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off piece by piece until there is nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and control. This is what we do to countries that we hate. We destroy them very slowly. That's supposed to be our ally, and I just don't see that working out real well. Patriots, there's a lot of change in our world right now. Things are being turned upside down. Histories are being revealed. Things, our perspective on things have to change. And we have to open our eyes and not be trapped into the patterns of the past. The patterns of the past have been part of being roped into these dog and pony shows, this bread and circus, especially in political years. It is great to see the energy and the revival of an interest in love in America. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we're in an age of accountability. And accountability is hard. It means we each have to look at ourselves. We have to look at what's around us. We have to look at those in our lives. And we have to look at those especially that are being put into the political sphere. When we start expecting things that they're not saying and we're not holding them accountable for what they do say, we're just playing the same game. We're playing the place of where we say openly that, for example, politicians are corrupt, and we take as this carte blanche statement, which is pretty much accepted, and yet we still vote them into office. The Republic requires representation of the people, of people that truly represent the wills of the people. And that also means that we have to put people in and challenge people for the decisions that they make. It doesn't just get to be a one and done and we get to wash over it. In this looming political period, the one thing that nobody wants to touch is the greatest hot potato ever, the biggest disaster and most lethal attack ever waged on humanity, and that is the vax. It's the one thing that everybody wants to skirt around. They don't want to get in the middle of it because it's too contentious. You know very well that that's been a center point of this discussions here since it rolled out and even before, because I saw it coming, because I had seen behind the curtain a little bit more than some. And that's not giving me an edge of saying I'm greater than you. It's just that truth is truth, and it's not been easy to speak it. But those are the sorts of things that we have to do now, in particular in an era when we start to see the elevation of these facts coming. There are some big issues before us. We have issues of child sex trafficking and who runs the media, who runs Congress, who runs our country, who's behind the scenes every single time, what's the involvement of Mossad and Israel, and what are they ultimately doing? And ultimately, we come down to something really common, the trafficking of children. That has to be brought to the public space. What about the vax? The vax is something that was developed. It was originally conceived back in 2012. It was deployed. It's been put in the public space. Their CDC is still running amok, telling people to take their 10th shot. And we are getting people claiming it's victorious as people continue to die. No one's talking about the death on a national level. They don't want to talk about it because if they do, they're going to put their foot in a pile of this that it may find themselves complicit in a crime against humanity. We have to face these hard truths as a nation. We're not going to be able to come together as a nation until we have leadership that's willing to be bold enough to speak those truths out and say, this is what happened and this is who's accountable. And that also means, like, even in the military, when you have leadership, we need to find the generals that are willing to say, I was part of this. No matter what befalls me, I'm going to do the right thing for our soldiers. We don't have that type of leadership anymore, but that's the leadership that made America. That's the leadership that doesn't allow clown world to take hold. And that's the leadership that no matter whether you're right or wrong, you're going to speak truth to power, because that's at the core of walking as a nation that is built on the foundations of our belief in Christ. Big moments for our nation. We're growing up. Not easy. But where this ultimately begins is local. And why local is ultimately so important is it's not just about us. Local is modeling a future for our youth that they can see, witness, and participate in. They're learning the power of the process of change through peaceful action dedicated towards reestablishing the Constitution in their local communities. And when the youth start to see that, the youth will model that. The youth will step up and start assuming those powers. They will take the authority that they need to. They will challenge the stupidity in the school districts and in their daily lives. The more that we can homeschool kids and get them out of the public indoctrination camps, the better. and encouraging parents to do the same. Many of these are still foreign grounds for people, and yet that's the center point of local action, is raising up and modeling the future leaders by us doing the right thing locally and lifting up communities so that they become constitutional and they assume those constitutional powers through their county sheriffs and their county commissions. That was by design. It's our stopgap. And as we do that, we shift the nation. Politics, fun to do, keeps us entertained. Big rallies, rah-rah, get to wear cool hats, do these cool things. But at the end of the day, the true change of this nation has to be a moral shift. And that moral shift has to be at the root of a nation. And the root of the nation is local. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this time that we have together, the time that we come to assemble each and every day, just to reflect truly on your might, your glory, and your power, and what is being asked of us as we go forward. So, Father, as we pray into this tonight, we're just praying for the intensity of commitment to local action, the focus on what it is to really change a nation from bottom up, to understand that we are fighting a war of inches, not miles. And in so doing, each little step that we make on these local actions and local levels is inspiring a new generation to take into that fold, to step in and literally raise up and say, I'm going to answer the call to resurrect a nation and to walk within that belief in Christ and to pull that nation back from the brink. These aren't easy times. And so, Father, we're just asking for your blessings of strength and encouragement for each and every step. Strength and encouragement that will lead us to great places. Strength and encouragement that will lead us to bigger visions and bigger dreams and bigger understandings, and will ultimately lead us to a place where we turn this nation back to you. So, Father, bless us and guide us in this hour, and we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know who Ted Kaczynski is, he's also known as the Unabomber, but he was actually a very brilliant man that was way ahead of his time in understanding the level of corruption we were dealing with. But here's a quote from him I think is important to close with. It says, never lose hope. Be persistent and stubborn and never give up. There are many instances in history where apparent losers suddenly turn out to be winners unexpectedly, so you should never conclude all hope is lost. We have all the power. Founding fathers gave it to us. Jesus gave us the authorities. We have the authorities to step on snakes and scorpions and authority over all dominion over all evil. But all we have to do is begin to fight the fight at the proper domain, and that's in the spirit. And when we are waging war in the spirit and we are praying and we are using that as our lead element of warfare, we are truly executing powerful elements of change. So pray more, lean in more, walk in the word more, and be truthful in what we do. It's our obligation to God and as Christians and as children of the Most High. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy, mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow night for the gospel of peace. Until then or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh.